Turn on your microphone, Tracy.
Yeah, we'll turn on the mic. All right, hold on. Do you want to do mine? I wonder if they'll let me, I can log in for you. You should be able to get down. Go back to the login screen. Jack and Michelle, one of you. Take care of your mouth. Yeah. Otherwise, you can just, I'm sure you can use them. Just your foundation. Thank you very much. All right, everyone have their microphones on. Okay, make sure your microphones are on and are good. Good morning. I would like to call to order the monthly meeting of the Board of Respiratory Care Examiners at 9:02 on July 19th, 2018. Just as a reminder, this is a professional board setting, and when we are speaking, we ask that you not be speaking out in the audience or up at the table. And when you are at the table, we will give you that same courtesy. We will start with introductions. My name is Tracy Kagan, and I am chair of the board.
My name is Jose Gonzalez, and I am the vice chairman.
Michelle O'Hare-Schattenberg, board member.
Kathy Rainier, board member.
Alan Crawford, board member.
Mike Beller, board member.
Sharda Muhammad, admin.
Jack Crawford, executive director.
Frank Easton Eckberg, assistant attorney general, attorney for the board.
Okay, and as Kathy mentioned, everybody should be signed in either as a participant of the board meeting or for CEUs. Okay, we will go ahead and get started, and we will start with approval of the consent agenda, which includes items C1 up to and including C8.
So, correction on the minutes, which I believe I'm being fully right and corrected, but stated on the minutes was executive session starting at 10:05 and resume session at 10:05, so.
Okay.
There's also a change to one of the motions. The motion incorrectly states that, or should state that, the case was dismissed without prejudice, and that was not reflected in the minutes, so that has been updated to accurately reflect the dismissal without prejudice.
Okay. So do we have a motion to accept with the two items amended?
I motion.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
A motion and a second to accept the consent agenda with those two items amended. Any discussion? All in favor of approval of the consent agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed, say nay. Okay, that motion passes. Just so the audience is aware, we do have one thing that we have to do at a timed, at a time, so I will be kind of jumping around the agenda for that purpose. But we do have a few minutes, so we are going to jump straight down to R4, review consideration of possible action on probation compliance orders, and the board is going to call the case of Joseph Caravella, case C003697-17-009796. Come on up. You can come on up to the table. Is that microphone on, Charlotte?
Yeah.
At the table? I think it's red. So.
Jack, I made copies of what you sent me.
Thank you.
Would you like to pass them out?
Yeah, we can pass them.
I only need like four or five. Sorry to take that. Four.
You have four?
At least four.
It's alternating between green and red.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is RCP Caravella. He's requesting early termination of his consent agreement probation order. It was dated April 3rd of 2017. RCP Caravella entered in a consent agreement order, which included decree of censure and a standard rehabilitation program probation terms. The board had, prior to that consent agreement, the board had summarily suspended his license to practice in February of 2017. The underlying facts in this case indicate that RCP Caravella had been diverting patient medications for personal use and accessing confidential patient records not assigned to him while employed at St. Joseph's Medical Center. The board was notified of his termination in December of 2016. Since the time of his probationary order, he has paid his civil penalties on a payment plan, regular payments every month, and I think they range from $20 to about $70 a month. Drug screens have come back clean when completed, when we've requested them. The board had granted an extension for completion of the continued education term of the probation, which he did complete. And as far as employer notifications, I would suggest that the board ask RCP Caravella if he's employed in the field and when he was last employed in the field so that we can find out whether or not we should have received any employer notifications. He has submitted attendance logs for AA and counseling. Last one I had on record was received in March of 2018. So he has substantially complied over the last year. He's asking for early termination of his consent agreement. And he's here to address the board with this. RCP Caravella, you may want to give the board a summary of what you've been doing since the start of probation, where you are now, what you're planning on doing if the probation is lifted. Particularly, you may want to cover the, I think you mentioned you were going to AA, you did an online portion of that, and you were going to church for some counseling. So you may want to give us some specifics on that.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
So obviously we heard what he said, and we heard the advice he just gave to you. So I'm going to kind of open it up to you and say, ask you to tell us where you are, how you got there, balls in your court.
So before I was asked to be on probation and all my agreements that I had agreed to, I'm sorry, I'm nervous. Prior to that, I actually started my own rehab program. I actually saw a physician, went on some medication, and did start going to meetings before I was told that I had to. That had been going on since probably January of 2017. So I have done personal counseling with a psychiatrist. I did that for a few months, and under his advice, he thought I could move on to other things. So I continued with AA. I have done online. I do have a sponsor. I did complete my 12-step program with him, but I still meet with him regularly. I have a meeting that is like my home base, I would guess you'd call it, every Friday. I meet with him before the meeting, as well as go to the meeting, and it's also at my church. Me and my family are heavily involved in the church, so I talk to our pastor often, as well as his wife. My children are also involved with youth groups, so we're there a lot. So I'm able to take a lot of time to be able to speak to people there. I also started exercising again, which I think has really, really helped me. I have type 1 diabetes, so right now I'm working at a car wash. It's a place that I've worked for about 10 years, but it's really tough on me personally. I'm in my 40s now, so working in the sun isn't really ideal for me, and my doctor also agrees. So that's really why I would like to get off of probation, so I could get back into my field. I do recognize and admit to my mistakes. I think I've come a long way. I'm pretty close to being 2 years of being sober. I still am seeing my physician every month. He drug tests me every month. I've been negative every single month I've been with him. I have a great support system at home. My wife and my children, my parents and my in-laws, the church has been great for me and my family. And I've been very fortunate and during this embarrassing situation, but I think everything's in place, and I've been working the program to its, I think, pretty hard. So I'm very confident that I'm going to continue to stay sober. And like I said, I'm almost 2 years of being sober. I think that's everything. But my doctor that I see monthly, he really recommends that I get out of the heat, because I work 12-hour days outside. Not only is it not the best job money-wise, but it's also not the best job for my health. And during this time, and again, I totally admit responsibility for this whole situation, but we were forced into bankruptcy. We were in foreclosure. Luckily, we've been able to work out a deal with our mortgage company. But financially, this has been really, really, really hard on us. I feel real bad for my family because it's not their fault. But I think the sooner that I can get back into my field, it would help us tremendously. And I'm confident that I'm ready to go back to working in respiratory.
What's your sobriety date?
It's first week of January. I honestly don't know the date. So 2019 would be 2 years.
Okay. And when was the last time you worked as an RT?
At St. Joe's. That was it. I've tried to get employment.
What was the date?
I believe August, maybe.
Or 17?
No, 16.
16. Or 16. So, question. So, it looks like the board summarily suspended your license February of 2017. So, you have not worked in the field of respiratory since then, is that correct?
Well, actually, when you guys suspended me, I was doing an assignment up in Cottonwood, I believe, and I had no idea about it. It was sent to an email that I didn't normally use, so I didn't find out about it until actually I came back from doing a weekend assignment, but that was the very last respiratory job. So
what was the last date that you worked in respiratory?
It was the when you first suspended my license, so whatever that date was, yeah.
February.
I worked like 2 days. And then before those 2 days, it was at St. Joe's. And I have not done anything with respiratory. I tried, but I haven't even as much as gotten an interview.
So can, I'm needing somebody to explain to me page 11.
And I apologize for not being more organized. This is kind of like a last minute request on my part. So I've been working all week. Like I woke up real early this morning just to fill out these forms.
There's a document that I'm looking at that says my schedule, and it appears to be Honor Health, respiratory therapy, float pool. And there's dates in here from July 31st. Employee schedule says 7/31/17 to 9/16/17. And it appears that there's 12-hour shifts that are scheduled.
Honor Health, I don't think I've ever worked for them.
Is this a document that belongs in somebody else's file?
Yeah, because
there's no, I don't see a name on it.
There's no name.
Yeah, there's no name.
Yeah, that's not me, Alan. I did get offered a job 3 years ago from Honor, but I never accepted the position.
Can't. Have you kept up with your
credentials
and education and so forth?
Absolutely. I just actually recently finished my MBRC, so it was due at the 31st of last month. And also, Alan, I also was accepted. I didn't accept the position, but I was offered a job in Deer Valley, who I believe is Honor Health as well. But I never worked a day there.
Yeah, this looked like it might be somebody else.
It's been a
random
while.
Piece of paper that got stuck in there. It's 313 if you're.
It belongs.
If you have
it
the
belongs
whole
to another therapist.
Okay.
So Jack found it.
All right.
Yeah. Joseph, did you ever identify the trigger that made this whole episode take place? I mean, to help. I mean, you've seen counselors,
sure.
Doctors, and I mean, I'm just wondering, Amy, you don't have to go into detail. I just wondered, has it been identified and has it been dealt with so that you can avoid it in the future?
I've done, through my programs, I've done basic exercises to eliminate those triggers. A specific one, I can't say. The whole reason why I got into my mess is I had back problems. And before I look back and I'm like, wow, this has been going on for a while. And a specific trigger, no, other than I started using the medication for my back.
Do you still have back problems?
Yeah, but I'm doing other things. I'm using lidocaine patches. Suboxone actually also used as a painkiller, and I've been able to work through everything. And I think being in the gym has helped me quite a bit.
Are you on Suboxone?
Yes. Yeah, my doctor told me to stick with his program, and I've been doing everything he's been telling me, and it's been working out really good. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I see him once a month.
So you feel that you have the back thing under control, and it's not
an
everyday occurrence?
And the job I work right now is actually way more physically exerting than respiratories, and I've been able to do it, so I'm very confident that.
Well, I mean, there's instances in respiratory where you'd have to dash upstairs or
sure.
jump on somebody's chest. I mean, there
yeah.
are some instances where you'd have to get all
yeah.
fired up, but I guess you've answered my question. I'm just, you know, my main concern is for, you know, not only public safety, but for yours, you know, if you dive into something that's going to, you know, that.
Yeah, I've been working 4 or 5 days a week, 12-hour days out in the sun, and I've been doing well. And I'm in the gym, I'm exercising, and I think lifting heavy weights. So my back's been good.
Because I think I heard you said that you were type 1 diabetic.
Yes, yeah, I've been type 1 diabetic for 26 years.
Okay.
I'm very blessed too. That I'm in the health.
No, I was very keen to that because, absolutely terrible for type 1 diabetic is being out in the sun. So,
yeah, my doctor tells me that every time I see him.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Alan, do you have something?
Just to clarify, my last drug screen was December of 2017.
What's your plan for follow-up care? So you're doing all this stuff while you're on probation and seeing your doctor monthly and meetings, and what's your plan if you're to be released from
probation now or when it expires. What's your plan for follow-up?
Honestly, just keep doing everything that I'm doing. Until my doctor says I don't need to see him anymore, I'm going to keep going and seeing him. I've met so many good people at some of my meetings, especially it's very close to home, and it's mostly through people through the church. So I don't see myself leaving anytime soon, if not always be there forever. Honestly, the biggest thing is financially, so we can get back on track, and as well as me worrying about my health, getting back indoors. I think that'd be huge for me to get out of the sun.
Anyone else?
I just had a question on the front, on the title page. It says probation start date March 2nd, 2012, and then schedule probationing date March 2nd, 2015. Can somebody explain those dates?
I have computer timed out here.
Yeah, I'm having issues here too.
It appears to be a template where the dates were updated.
Okay.
The summary has the correct dates when the summary suspension and the start of the probation.
Okay.
Anything else, board members? No? Okay. So, does anyone have a motion or we're looking to either grant it or deny it, correct? This early release.
I'll make the motion to grant the early release.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor of granting the early release for Mr. Caravella from probation, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed, say nay. That motion passes.
Thank you so much.
Good luck to you.
Good luck.
Let us know how you're doing.
Thank you.
Just for giving.
Right. Just for fun.
Not that you have to be back here.
No.
Send me an email. I want to come back.
Okay. I have no materials. I had everything, and now everything is gone, and it's just I've got the spinning wheel of death. So
great.
I popped up. I've had three wheel of death. It's called a quarter.
Yeah. So I'm going to peek over your shoulder, Joe, as we move on.
I just lost one.
Oh, you lost everything too.
Oh, wait.
Okay, so I'm going to look over his shoulder. Okay, so we are going to go to R2, consideration and action on formal complaint hearings, and the board will be calling the case of Chelsea Rodriguez, case 2018-RCE-0025. That's a whole new number. Okay, it is, and I'm going to read my script here. It is 9:23 on July 19th, 2018, and this is the time set for the formal hearing before the Arizona Board of Respiratory Care Examiners in case number 2018-RCE-0025. I am Tracy Kagan, Chair of the Board, and we can get an introduction from the other board members, please. Introduction.
Jose Gonzalez, Vice Chair.
Michelle Hare-Schattenberg, Board Member.
Kathy Brightier, board member.
Alan Crawford, board member.
Michael Beller, board member.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that.
Okay. After I made my screen big.
At least turn out. Who knows okay, this is an administrative hearing before the board. We will use the following procedures. All persons who speak must speak loudly and clearly, so statements can be recorded, and only one person may speak at a time. To begin the hearing, each side may make a brief opening statement. The state will call its witness first and may offer documents as evidence. The chair will rule on the admissibility of evidence. Licensee may then cross-examine each witness, and the state may ask additional questions. Board members may then ask questions of the witness. And if board members question a witness, the party may ask additional questions. After the state presents all its witnesses, licensee will present his or her witnesses and may offer documentation as well. Licensee may testify as a witness and may call other witnesses. The state may cross-examine each witness, and licensee may ask additional questions. Board members may then ask questions, and if board members ask a question, the parties may ask additional questions. Each party may make a closing statement, and after closing statements, the board will deliberate and make a decision. Is the state ready to proceed?
Yes, Madam Chair. Assistant Attorney General Frankie Schenectady representing the state. At this time, the state would like to make a motion to deem the allegations as admitted. In your materials, you'll find a copy of my motion as well as the attachments. The Arizona State Board of Respiratory Care Examiners has the statutory authority to impose discipline pursuant to the allegations stated within the complaint notice of hearing if the license holder fails to respond to the complaint within 30 days of being properly served. ARS 32-3553K provides that a licensee shall respond in writing to the board within 30 days after a notice of hearing is served as prescribed in Section J of this section, and the board may consider a licensee's failure to respond within this time frame as an admission by default to the allegations stated within the complaint. The board may then take any disciplinary action allowed by this chapter without conducting the hearing. In this case, board staff mailed a copy of the complaint notice of hearing to respondent on June 8, 2018 via U.S. Postal Service certified mail with return receipt requested and regular mail to respondent's address of record with the board, and also by electronic mail to respondent's most current electronic mail address. Service of process was complete on June 8, 2018 pursuant to the statute. The certified mailing has not been claimed by respondent and was returned as undelivered to the board. However, the documents sent by regular postal mail have not been returned to the board. Previous documents regarding this investigation issued from my office as well as board staff has also never been returned as undeliverable. The documents sent as attachments to respondent by email were also not returned as undeliverable. When a certified mail notice is returned unclaimed, the Supreme Court has said that the state must take additional reasonable steps to attempt to provide notice. One reasonable step suggested might be for the state to send the notice by regular mail. This is because regular mail requires no signature and can be left at the address, increasing the chance of actual notice. Here, the board staff not only sent the notice by regular mail, but also went beyond the reasonable measures by also sending the notice by electronic mail. The state was required to take additional steps, as it did in this case, but the state was not required to conduct an open-ended search of government records or the local phone book for a working address. Licensees are required by rule to timely update their address of record with the board, and Arizona Administrative Code R445-104 provides that a licensee shall notify the board within 10 days after a change in the licensee's address of record. Further, ARS 41-1092.04 states that each party to an administrative action must inform the agency and the office of any change of address within 5 days of that change. No notice of an address change was ever received by the board, thus the board has no reason to believe that the current address of the record is not correct. In this case, board staff mailed a complaint and notice of hearing to respondent's address of record on file with the board via certified and regular mail. Respondent has not provided the board with an updated address since at least June 5th, 2018. The date on which respondent was notified that an allegation had been raised against her. Thus, respondent was properly noticed of the formal hearing and as of July 9, 2018, has failed to respond to the complaint within 30 days that the complaint was mailed. Therefore, the state respectfully requests that the factual allegations and alleged violations stated within the complaint notice of hearing be deemed admitted and that this board take disciplinary action without conducting the hearing.
Okay, thank you. Wow.
Madam Chair, I move that we grant the state's motion to deem.
Second.
So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? We don't need to do roll call because it's not discipline at this moment.
At this part, correct.
Okay. So all in favor of accepting the motion to deem, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. That motion passes.
So, Madam Chair, at this time, I move that we adopt the parties and jurisdictional statement and the factual allegations as stated in the notice of hearing complaint as findings of fact.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor of all of that? All of that motion? I can't repeat all of that. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes.
And now, Madam Chair, I move that we adopt the alleged violations as stated in the notice of hearing complaint as conclusions of law.
I second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say nay. That motion passes. Okay, so now we're on to the discipline side of this.
So Madam Chair, I'm going to jump right out there because I seem to have started this going. I'll move the for revocation of the license.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Some discussion on that. Just for discussion purposes, I will say that we're at the point where we've gotten to this and we've gotten nothing from her at all, right? We've heard nothing from Ms. Rodriguez at any point during this process.
So I do fear for public safety.
Absolutely. As well. Yeah, based on the information we have, without a doubt. Okay, any other discussion? I will ask for a roll call vote, and we are voting on the revocation of the license of Ms. Rodriguez. Joe?
Roll call vote. Jose Gonzalez, aye.
Michelle R. Schattenberg, aye.
Kathy Rainier, aye.
Alan Crawford, aye.
Michael Butler, aye.
Tracy Kagan, aye. And that motion passes. All right. Okay, thank you, boy. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Aren't you glad you came?
You did a fantastic job. We appreciate your help.
We all did a fantastic job. I wish my job was always as easy.
We ate to please.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Enjoy your student.
Okay. We are going to just get to the top and go work our way down now. We're going to R3, consideration and action on investigations of possible unprofessional conduct, and the board will call the case of Jandy Spann, case 2018-RCE-0021. Do you need this back so you can see? Because I can look over Joe's shoulder.
I can give a brief.
I know this. There's got to be a better way.
Is RCP Spann here?
According to what I have here, we only have one sign in, and we've already taken care of that.
So I don't. Generally, these four cases that are in this initial allegation section are all cases, and I'm describing it this way because the board may want to block vote them. It's up to you guys, or you can hear them individually. All four of these were continuing education audits that were failed. We send initial allegation letters. We offer a consent agreement. These are the four where the consent agreements have not come back. So all the other consent agreements you saw in the consent section were all people that accepted the standard.
I was under the impression that if consent agreements weren't signed, it went to an informal.
Well, since we haven't had a response, it can go directly to an informal interview. I placed them on the agenda so that they've refused to sign the consent agreement. So if they don't show up for the informal interview, they're going to be going to hearing. So hopefully we're going to save some time with your vote. Send it to informal interview, or you can say sign the consent agreement or go to hearing. You know, that's entirely up to you. So you can look them all in a block. I can do them individually, but I just wanted to kind of clarify why you're looking at these today.
I think, and Frankie, you correct me if I'm wrong, because they're agendized as individual, I think we should call them individually. We'll just get through them quickly, but.
Yeah, I believe that's the correct course. But I think the CEUs that we're missing are different for some of the cases. So when you do, if you do issue another consent in an attempt to resolve this before the informal, it'll probably be clear for your record.
Okay. So let's, board members, let's just look at the case of Jandy Spann for the moment. I think it's probably this. I just have a dead area, perhaps, because this is the one you just brought me that worked a second ago. So.
So
there you go.
Regarding Ms. Spann.
Yes.
The comment that was made in the respondent statement is, I figured I wouldn't get out of it again because this is the second or third time it's happened in 6 years. To me, then what you're clearly stating to me is that I chose not to go get the required number of CEUs because I assumed I would not get out of it.
That's exactly what it says. You don't have to, that's what she said.
In my opinion, that's poor judgment.
Here.
I would make a motion that we move this to an informal.
We have a motion and a second for an informal interview. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes. We will now look at the case of Jared Leeson, case 2018-RCE-0015.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is again a random Virginia education audit wherein RCP Leeson failed to complete 20 hours within the renewal time frame. He was short by 4.5 hours. And of those 4.5 hours, he did not have 2 hours of ethics. He did supply a written reply to the initial complaint, stating that he was unable to access his records due to some personal family issues. And I refer to his email response if you want specifics. But he did admit he couldn't provide proof of all 20 hours of CE. He has not signed the consent agreement.
So we don't seem to have that email.
We don't seem to have the email, Jeff.
You don't.
From, I think
he,
it starts
with I will generally describe without getting into details. He is going through personal family issues with a divorce. It seems to be very volatile. He does not have access to his prior residence, which is where he is claiming the records are. And he's not getting cooperation from current spouse because they're in the middle of divorce proceedings.
Okay. Well, I feel for that. It's
a reason. It's not an excuse.
Yeah, it's irrelevant to us.
So, Madam Chair, I move we sent this to an informal interview.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second to go to an informal interview. Do we have any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes. We will stay in R3, and the board will call the case of Rayanne Kieran, case 2018-RCE-0012.
Madam Chair, members of the board, another continuing education audit. We have not received any response from the audit up to this point in time with anything with this complaint. No response to the audit, no communication, no response to the consent agreement. And in this particular case, I am not getting email, mail returned or emails returned.
I motion that I move this to an informal.
Motion and a second to go to an informal interview. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes. And finishing up R3, well, not finishing up, moving on, we'll call the case of Gary Hill. I just saw there was an extra one. Case 2018-RCE-0011.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is a continuing education audit wherein RCP Hill failed to provide the 2 hours of required ethics. In total, he had submitted 32 hours in response to the initial audit. And then when he replied to the initial complaint allegation, he had gone out and gotten 2 hours of ethics CE, included that in his response to the allegation. So he was unable to provide proof of 2 hours of ethics continuing education for the renewal time frame.
But then he went out and got it.
He went out and got it. It was after the
after
the renewal time frame, correct.
So he was sent a consent agreement for 2 hours?
Yes.
And didn't return it?
Correct.
Yeah. Was there any conversation with that, or he just ignored it and didn't return it?
Have not heard from him.
Here's the, this is the individual also, it says, I was unaware, and that's been out there how long now, that you had to have ethics?
10 years.
And a year, was in place in June 1st of
right,
2017.
So when did he renew?
But
when did he renew?
It was after January.
January of 18?
Yeah, you were not, you were new around January 14th of 18.
And then, so he would have been required to have CE during the licensing period prior to 2018? He would have been required to have ethics CE prior to licensing period of 18.
Yeah, so, if you remember, we did a, rule became effective around June 1st, 2017. The board gave a six-month compliance assistance period where people either getting to the, used to the new rule could renew under the old set of continuing education rules or the new ones. And they said after the 6 months, after publication, website, emails, starting January 1st, you had to renew with the new set of rules.
Right. Had he renewed his license in December, he would have been fine, but he didn't.
Yeah.
The deadline was December 31st, where you can be 17. Old rules or new rules.
Okay.
And starting on January 1st, he had to have the new rules. Was, so he should have renewed it to his and he'd have been fine.
Yeah. Well, here's the other gem. I'll stay more up to date on my license requirements.
Excellent.
Good idea here.
So he did the CE.
He just said he had the ethics.
After the fact.
So,
after the fact.
But for this
after the fact, he did them.
So can we... Can we send him a consent agreement for the civil penalty?
We already did.
We just did. He didn't sign it.
He didn't sign it and
send it back.
Oh.
All right. So. Well, then I motion that we move this to an informal.
I second.
We have a motion and a second to go to an informal. Any discussion?
I do have a question. So we sent him the consent, but we sent it to him as a, we didn't order it, correct?
You can't order
correct.
It until the informal interview phase, though they're all sent as consent.
Okay, thank you.
Any other discussion? All in favor of going to an informal interview, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. That motion passes. Okay, so my question right now, that we just sent all four of these to an informal interview, is that should have been done with the consent, and we'd have been one step ahead of where we are right now.
We always end up here, and there's a difference of opinion, and it's based upon workload. And I'm of the opinion that I would recommend the board send this directly to formal hearing. Your assistant attorney general.
She doesn't like that.
Well, because there's a lot of work
involved
with those hearings. And
well, and your statute specifically says unless it's a revocation or suspension, and you know it's a revocation or suspension, you have to go through the due process of the informal interview. So
then do we need to stop saying in our consents? Because we verbalize, and if they don't sign this, we go to an informal interview. Then
it doesn't actually ever say that in your consents. It's in, usually in the cover letters that Jack sends out that says this has been voted, or you've been offered this consent, and if you do not accept it, we'll be moved to an informal. I don't know if that's still in the cover letters or not, but that's
but if
really
we're not
going to
do it, we might as well not say it.
Mm-hmm. That's fine.
Because then we look silly.
It's a due process thing. It extends the time of the case. Because what ends up happening a lot of times after they get the notice of hearing and the evidence packet from the AG's office, they're like, oh.
Well, yeah, then they sign it.
King's X, you know, I'm going to sign it now, but there's 3 or 4 months and a lot of work that has gone into it in between that time frame. So, but if they
call a lot of people on the second go around with the informals where they'll be like, oh, I didn't realize I had to sign this to make this go away. And
so if they don't sign the consent, I'm under the opinion that if you don't sign the consent, you go directly to an informal where we can order you to sign the consent. And if you choose not to do that, then it goes
then
to a
formal.
They have to, the caveat though is they have to show up for the informal interview.
Right, because
they don't show up for the informal
can't
interview, then
it's
the board can't order.
Right.
The
then
sanction.
It goes to a formal.
Okay,
I understand
that. Okay.
So then we just need to stop saying that it's going to go to an informal because it's not.
Unless you actually are planning to send it right
I
to
mean,
a
we can vote on
rejection.
It.
Yeah.
We
okay.
can vote on
all right,
it.
I just wanted clarity on that. Okay. All right. R35 is the case of Alicia Lett. This is under recommendation for dismissal, and it's case C003844-18-007009.
I'm not even sure I understand this.
That was interesting.
So, Jack, take it away.
But I don't have the long story short, Madam Chair, members of the board. There was a previous complaint that was filed that the board reviewed in June of 2017, and they dismissed it based upon staff recommendation dismissed because we couldn't find any allegation. 6 months after that, I think I had some handwritten notes that may or may not be in your materials. The original complaining party, who is another RCP, called in and basically described that the case shouldn't have dismissed and gave me a number of reasons why. To the point where I pulled the original file to check out what we had done and so forth. I was uncomfortable with the amount of detail in the first complaint allegation. I reopened the second one. I sent out a subpoena to the healthcare institution to get copies of records and talked to two other people from the same institution a couple months later, called in complaining about the same person. I could not find a blatant violation anyplace in HR records, anyplace in patient records. Talked with the HR representative, the RCP supervisor, and my take on the fact pattern is that the complainant is a disgruntled former employee that got terminated by this RCP, and they've been drumming up a lot of allegations surrounding that dismissal ever since. The allegation was that RCP Lett was representing himself as an RRT when in fact he was not credentialed as an RRT through the MBRC. I couldn't find any evidence of him representing himself as an RRT with the MBRC card, paperwork, or anything like that.
What is he credentialed?
CRT. He's a CRT.
According to the MBRC, he's a CRT credential.
Right. Well, according to the MBRC, he has an expired CRT.
So he did sign a job description, though, that for a registered respiratory therapy position.
Absolutely. It's a job description for an RRT. It's the healthcare institution's job description that says registered respiratory therapist.
But doesn't mean he's representing himself that way.
Right. So.
But it signs a job description.
That's the decision.
It's a job.
So,
yeah, but that's an internal issue.
To not identify RRT versus CRT.
Yeah. I think that's an internal issue with the facility.
And there's a little discussion around. I had a lot of discussion with the Seguris and the they're in conjunction with these job descriptions. If you will notice, there's different dates on them and overwritten, and it all centers around a prior HR director that's no longer there, and that person was the person that was in place when we looked at this complaint originally. And again, I don't have any evidence that I would consider alleging a violation for misrepresentation based upon those job descriptions and the conversations I've had.
So this individual who gave us this information or alleged allegation didn't provide patient records where this individual signed off as an RRT, no conversation with somebody who said, hey, this guy says he's an RRT, we got nothing.
That's my.
Contrary.
Those were almost my verbatim questions to her.
Okay.
That I needed evidence. And the response I had gotten was, well, he had a card that he carried around. Okay, well, I need a. Tell me, was he signing patient records with an RRT at the end? And I got nothing substantial to follow up on to prove or disprove the allegation.
Does Cornerstone use an electronic medical record? Or is it a paper record?
It was paper records last time I asked. I don't know what they're doing now.
So we dismissed this a year ago.
Yep.
We have nothing additional to add.
Do
we consider?
No, not in my opinion. And the reason I reopened it is because when I talked to this Misty Lopez, she created enough urgency for me to make, I wanted to make sure that we did everything the way we should have the first time. That's why I reopened it. The one thing I did find out as a result of this was that he was recently suspended by Cornerstone. So when he got suspended by Cornerstone, I got another wave of calls from people. Oh, he got suspended,
Mr. Lett was?
And it's all this group of employees that's out, for some reason, has a problem with the supervisor. He got suspended by Cornerstone because he allowed his CRT credential to expire with NBRC.
Okay.
So, again, it's, he got, okay, he got suspended from working, but it's not a violation of our law or rule to allow your NBRC credential to expire. So I looked at it a couple different ways, and I can't find anything.
Did we subpoena Cornerstone for patient records?
Yes.
And we have not received those?
I got a sampling of records, but I didn't. It's hard to, we didn't get all patient records.
Because I guess my question would be, if RCP Lett, which I understand is in a supervisory role, my question would be, A, did you treat patients? And if so, can we get a record of your treatment, right? You know, can we get a copy of the patient's treatment record? Because I am curious how they're signing their signature. But I agree in the aspect that Cornerstone has their operating model that has nothing to do with the licensure requirements. So I don't have enough information, I guess, to make a judgment call.
My issue is that unless these people are willing to come forward with some concrete information, we have nothing to go on. There's just absolutely nothing to go on here. And I don't think it's incumbent upon the board to go out and investigate something when they're not willing to provide us with some sort of concrete information. We've done what we can with the information that this complainant has provided, and you know what? Sometimes it just isn't enough to move forward with anything at this point. I think they may have an internal issue with having job descriptions and hiring people who may not be qualified for the job, but that's their problem. That's not this board's problem.
The only other thing that I would add is that I lost the resume now, but the resume has military service prior to him getting his degree from PMI. And so often the credentialing for the armed services is different than the requirements in the is a civilian. And so he could have had a card that presents himself as something to the military that's not necessarily the same credentials in the private sector, because it's not a national licensure certification. So, and somebody just showed me one the other day for an air traffic controller. I was like, oh, in the Army, you do it in private. And he's like, no, because it doesn't translate across. So.
That's an interesting thought.
Yeah.
Was he ever out of
that could be the card in reference.
Was he ever out of the legal for the state license? I mean, was he ever out of line for us? I mean, not having
credits. There's some information in his record from 4 or 5 years ago, about 2012, where he submitted a late renewal. But that was with a different facility.
Okay.
Yeah, so pretty much that.
Okay, so no.
There's nothing.
No, we don't.
Okay, I make a motion to dismiss.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second for dismissal. Any further conversation? All in favor of dismissal of the case, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes. We will go back to R4, review and consideration possible action on probation compliance orders. And the board will call the case of Alfred DiGialva. Okay. Case C003761-17-011836.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is another request for early termination of a rehabilitation consent agreement. In this particular case, the original case started in May of 2017 after he was terminated from Kingman Regional Medical Center for testing positive on a random drug UA. What started our case was the facility had reported the termination to us. RCP Grabala, entered in a consent agreement for findings of fact, conclusions of law, and a non-disciplinary order for rehabilitation probation to resolve the allegation in the matter. Overall, it just generally, I can give specifics, but overall, his reports have been exemplary. They've been on time. They are detailed. His AA logs, his counseling, the letters from his counselor show compliance in every aspect of the probationary order. He even turns in out-of-town vacation notices when he's gone for a weekend or a week. So he really has worked the program well. The documentation all support his request for early termination in this particular case. All of his screens have come back clean.
So you said he turned in his logs, Jerry?
Yes.
Does he go to 3 meetings a week?
I think he goes to more, if memory serves.
I wish he was here just to tell him congratulations mm-hmm. on following through. So
it's not a rare case. It's more often than not, we have to call and follow up to get this stuff turned in. And this is not the case with this particular RCP. He really has worked it pretty well. And if you actually read his request to lift, and it looks like it starts on page 282, it's really on point. He describes his rehab program. He describes his support and the lessons he's learned from this, and hopefully it'll carry through into his future career. So staff would actually recommend that the board lift this unless they have questions or want some more information in a different area.
So he lives now in Southern Arizona?
Correct.
Is he from his return address?
Yes. Okay. So my understanding of his the work habits is he may be current, I think he's currently, I could be getting this mixed up. He works in the in Douglas Bisbee area, and he's also reported, I think, some work up in the Kingman area.
Okay. Board members, motion by anyone?
So is it your position that you're thinking we should?
I would. Grant. That the staff recommendation would be to lift the probation due to his compliance with the order.
All right, I move that we grant early termination of this probation.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion?
When was the last time he was drug tested?
I believe if memory serves, it was in December. December, I believe it was December 17. December 28th of 17 was the last time we haven't tested. The time before that was June of 17, so.
So it started as probation, and then we did it 6 months later.
In December, correct.
How often, just out of curiosity, how often do we drug test individuals who are on probation?
It should be about once. Goal is about once every 4 months, and it is extremely random. So, but it's based upon the responses that we're getting. If we don't, if we're not getting reports from somebody and they're not contacting us, they may be on a little more stringent schedule than somebody that's in total compliance. But when we set up the program, we're originally, it was ran about once every quarter.
Any other discussion? All in favor of accepting his request for early termination, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. That motion passes. Okay, unless I missed something, that concludes the cases, right? Did I get everyone? Mm-hmm. So we are at R5, Executive Director's Report.
That's
you. Today, every month.
So I included, I'm just going to cover a couple of general things. I included the 13th month report for budget, and that reflects what we ended up spending there for appropriation, over the last fiscal year. Just about everything. We have about, if memory serves, about 11,000 under appropriation. So general rule is you want to be within probably 5 to 10% of your total appropriation. We had a special line item last year that was used for e-licensing and some computer stuff. So the total spend last year was about $362,000. Our normal appropriation without a special line is about $300,000, and that's what we're going to have this year for operating, and then we have a little extra money for maintenance of e-licensing for this current fiscal year, which started July 1st. So overall, if you remember, we had increased renewal fees a little bit. We are maintaining, that helped us with maintaining the budget. So we're going to have about $200,000 carry over into fiscal year 17. Our total appropriation is about 320. So we're running about 50% as far as the cash value, the cash account, which is not bad. It doesn't make the fund high enough where people might look at it to take money away from it, but we have enough to carry on, even if we have a big dip in licensing fees.
Okay.
Is that it? Anybody have any question on budgeting or where we're at?
Are you tracking, Jack, if we're gaining more than we're losing as far as practitioners goes?
As a matter of fact, I checked this week. We are up to 4,066 total licensed people as of this week. We normally average about, for budgeting and people at, and if people, how many RTs are there in Arizona? I'd say, well, normally about 4,000. So we seem to be on a little bit of an uptrend as far as new licensing and people renewing right now. That's about the highest I've seen it since I first got here.
Have you seen a trend of losing very many?
Do you feel, Kathy, do you think we have more people not renew right now, or do you have a feeling on that trend?
No, it just seems to be, consistent. I mean, from right. From past year or so.
So old guys my age are still working.
Or they've come back. So.
We weren't able to do that kind of demographic background previously with our system. If and when the new e-licensing system gets up and running, the reporting capabilities could actually give you a nice little graph with birth dates and.
Yeah, I'd just like to see.
It actually is normally about a bell-shaped curve when you're looking at licensed populations. But everyone, every industry could be a little different. I just haven't had the ability to do that.
All right, thank you, Dave.
E-licensing, I don't have a lot of good things to say about e-licensing today. Okay, there are, of all the boards, I think we spent, 13 boards spent about $660,000 to get first phase of e-license done, initial first phase of e-licensing. In retrospect, I don't think first phase was defined very well. A lot of people, a lot of boards have systems that are broke right now, and they're trying to have people renew. I consciously made a decision not to go live, even though the rest of the boards, the other 12 did, because I didn't think the system was ready, and we had already had an electronic e-license system that's working well. Well, that decision, everybody else has experienced problems now, so there's a lot of high-level talks about fixing what's broken. We're still not live. I don't want to go live until it's all fixed. And what has happened because of that is now Deloitte Asset and the programmers all want to prioritize the boards that are live. So they're putting all the resources into fixing the systems that are broken for those other boards. So now we're kind of on a back burner stage, which is okay because we still have electronic applications and renewals. Eventually it's going to catch up with us. If we don't get all the data manually, we're going to have to do another data dump, which might cost us some money in the future. But I'm okay with running to where we are, and while they're fixing all the stuff that's broken. We're talking about some major architecture things that are happening right now. There's Deloitte's not talking successfully to Salesforce, and Salesforce is not talking with Asset. They're patching things, they're breaking license renewals, so there's a lot of problems right now. And hopefully they'll bring, so the contract's over. The state paid them for this, everybody that get this done. Now it's broke, and nobody's getting paid anything to fix it. So we're kind of in a mode of what are we going to do and who's going to pay for it? And there hasn't been a lot of decisions made for it yet. We're still participating, but I don't see it happening for another 3 or 4 months for us.
Okay. It's made some improvements, though, from the first time I tested it to this most recent test. There's been improvements.
There have been improvements, and but you found the problem. We all of a sudden, for some reason, we have a fingerprint requirement showing up in the middle of our renewal applications, and it wasn't there before.
Right, it's definitely not ready to go live, but it's made some improvements.
So we're working on it. Hopefully we'll get there, okay? And it's still very time consuming, but that's the amount of work I guess we have to put in to get it done. Do you have any questions on any of that, Michael, or
no,
any licensing or anything?
No, it cycled off of my radar in favor for another app development, and I'm going to follow up with them and see where the project plan's at.
Okay.
So.
Oh, if you get a chance, take a look at the recent customer service surveys. Kathy is leading the success board with the most excellent surveys, followed by Charlotte, and I only get the bad ones.
So who's in charge of license verification? Because that seems to be a common theme of dissatisfaction.
Well, first let me ask, why are surveys from 2011 on here?
Did I cut the wrong ones off?
Because I started reading through them, and some of them mentioned a person who is no longer employed here. And
oh,
has not been.
Yeah, the beginning ones, though, are the right
You
dates.
Have to go up to
I see. Which, I
the,
see
the printout. I thought I had uploaded it. So the... You need to go down and scroll down to the bottom of the It's about 233.
233 is 645, isn't that right?
233 is survey.
It's 233  survey response, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
It's page 622.
Oh, I only have 3.
So the most recent ones from July are document page 622 through 204, July 3rd. Now, to answer your question, Tracy, license verifications are being completed by Kathy and Charlotte.
Right, so I was looking at older surveys, apparently, where that was the complaint, yeah.
We haven't gotten any complaints on license verifications recently. As a matter of fact, people will call in. The license verification process we have set up now is we send the original to the state that they're asking, and then we send the requesting party a copy. So when the requesting party gets a copy of the license verification, they know that the original's been sent to the state.
Okay.
Over and over, we field calls. Well, I just talked to, is it Oregon? What's our number one? New Mexico. I just talked to the next New Mexico board, and they haven't received it. So we go into the database, well, we sent it out on this date. Did you get your copy? Yeah, we got our copy, well.
So did they?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't think we've had, we're
No, apparently that was the turnaround time.
Usually a couple days.
Yeah. From receipt.
So basically, they're doing a great job.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the surveys reflect that.
Okay.
Thank you. If I may ask a question, Jack, how is this new location working out? I haven't heard you say anything about the offices or the, I mean, the office for holding the meeting seems nice, but how was your?
I think this is one of the most professional buildings I've been in 15, 20 years with the state.
Wow, that's politically correct.
I don't know if that's, I don't know if that's good or bad, Jim. I happen to appreciate it. It's, you know, they got some good security, have covered parking.
Minus elevators, right?
We have been having some issues with elevators, and I've gotten a little more exercise in the last couple of weeks than I have in a while.
Than you bargained for?
Stairs, but they're working on elevators replacing, so I have
Overall, good experience and a great place. And this is considered DHS?
This is the one-stop shopping for health boards.
Health boards?
Yeah.
Okay.
So the governor's kind of direction, DOA, was to put all the health-related boards in one location, and they've successfully done that.
Nursing is here, too.
What's that?
Nursing is here, too.
Nursing is here.
So do you know what happened to our old building?
It's going to get either razed or rebuilt.
My God. Got it started on, maybe.
They're doing it, so they're doing this to, there's a lot of state agencies that are moving buildings. Michael may have a little more of an update on that, but it's happening in the entire capital complex.
Okay.
They have a strategic plan for doing this over the next, I don't know how many years, so.
All right, thank you. I have no more questions that are not on the agenda.
Back to the agenda. Yes, let's go to R52, application investigation. How about that? I'll get us back on track.
Thank you.
Is that you, Kathy?
What are we doing?
R52.
I did not print out updated lists for this. And the reason is they're not updated to the point where it would get information.
Okay.
I moved all the complaints into the new e-licensing system, and I'm still working with two systems, so we should have an update. Complaints have slowed down. We haven't had a lot of volume of intake. Over the last week, we've got, I don't know, four or five that have come in. So you should probably start seeing those show up on your next agenda as far as initial allegations.
Okay.
Auditor General update. The Auditor General's office has come in to look at the fixes we made for continuing education, for licensing timeframes. They pulled files last week. They've done initial review. I think they're pleased with everything that we've done, and we'll just about be done with the audit. The last thing, e-licensing, when we start requiring everybody to have their submit their CE, it's part of the e-licensing system. They will still be waiting for that to check that off of their list.
And so that won't happen until we go live?
Exactly.
Okay.
So we may not, they may not be able to cross that off, but we basically did everything they had recommended. And if you remember, they had four or five recommendations for continuing education. We've done all that. They had, they've checked the time frames, and we're turning stuff around in a day, so.
Okay.
They seem to be, the analysts seem to be pleased with the progress. And what else? Draft rules. I handed these out at the last meeting, and I gave everybody a homework assignment. So I will just wait to hear back if you have any suggested changes or adds.
Yeah.
I finally got your three.
Thank you.
On the list. I know it's taken a while. So we'll start heading towards getting these. I have to get approval from the governor's office to run these rules, but we are making some changes, some efficiencies, reducing the regulatory burden, so that should help with some of that reporting to the governor's office. But I don't have any. I have a draft budget request that we'll be submitting, but I didn't print it out for you. And we'll submit our budget in September for 2020.
Okay.
So I'll bring that to you in another board meeting.
Okay, so you're good with R5?
Yep.
Okay. I'll move to R6, which is the call to the public. And the call to the public is when we offer out to you, this is the opportunity for you, if you have anything you wish to ask or address the board, you would have 5 minutes to do so, but we cannot have any discussion on anything that's not on the agenda. Anyone? Yes.
I would like to suggest when you people speak that you don't put your hands in front of your mouth because it's difficult to hear you. And if you'll speak to your grandmother sitting back there in the back row who's 80 years old, ear things in both ears, you'll be heard much better.
Very good. Thank you. Yes, in the back.
In regards to the e-licensing update, I heard something, maybe clarifies that we would be submitting our CEU credentials through this program.
Can I answer that? So you did hear correctly. We have a new database that is going to be effective in the next 3 to 4 months. The board made a policy decision based upon an Auditor General performance audit that when you submit your renewal application, you're going to be mandated to give us information on your continuing education. So you're going to be telling us, I got 3 hours of this course, and you're going to be scanning a copy of your certificate into your renewal application. We will check that CE to make sure you have the appropriate 20 hours of CE before we issue your renewal. And my understanding when the board took a look at this is that's the way it used to be 10 years ago. We're going back to that same system to make sure that everybody has their 20 hours before they renew. And random audits will go away. So you either have your 20 hours before you renew, or you don't. You won't get renewed until you have it.
Thank you.
Yep.
Yes.
If you pass your RIT exam, does it count for any CEUs toward the state?
We can't talk. Right.
Can you repeat the question, please?
If you get the RRT exam passed, you know, and you were CRT, you took your RRT exam within 2 years of your renewal, does it count toward any CEUs?
So if you're a current licensee and you take your RRT test, depending on how many parts you have to take, I'll go from a CRT and RRT, each part can be worth 10 hours. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It's just 10 hours total.
10 hours.
Total, not each part.
Right.
So to go from CRT to ARM.
So they're required to take two parts, it's not 10 hours each? So it's 10 hours. So if you get your RRT after your license, it's 10 hours as continuing education.
So we have kind of a question for you guys. As far, I can ask them a question, right? Would you get out of this meeting type of a thing? Because why are you staring at me like that? I want to know if they know that they have to have ethics. These have to have ethics CEUs.
Yeah.
And how did you become aware of that?
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth?
Email.
The email.
Okay, so I just want to make sure that we're getting the word out there.
How many of you went to the website? Is it helpful?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very good.
Thank you.
Excellent. Okay, we'll move down to R7, items to be placed on future agenda, board members.
I have, I don't know, Frankie, if you saw the State Bar is putting on a seminar, it's called Representing Clients with Their Administrative Agencies.
I did not.
September 20th. It's actually a meeting date, but I was considering signing up for it. Somebody from the nursing board is part of the agenda or part of the committee or something, and they don't haven't published the actual classes yet.
It's through the State Bar?
Through the State Bar, yeah. I just got that notice.
I just got the notice. I just haven't.
Yeah, September 20th. Like I said, that would be a meeting date, but I'm considering signing up for it because I'm interested in what they have to say.
Thanks, a lawyer.
Well, I would assume the State Bar would be happy to take your money if you want to go.
Anything else for future agenda items? What's the confusion over there?
On our website, regarding CEU, on our website, there's a bullet point that states no CEU will be accepted for the MBRC therapist multiple choice or clinical simulation exam.
That's for, so when we changed to require the RRT credential, anybody prior to that, new graduates were able to get 10 hours of continuing education if they got their RRT after they were licensed with us. When we made the change,
RRT,
we decided no new graduates would get any CE for the RRT because it's a license requirement. However, people that were grandfathered as a CRT,
right.
They decided to go get their RRT, they could use that as continuing education.
So you have to be currently licensed.
Exactly.
Right.
So it could probably be explained a little better, but I think it's written correctly. It's just, it's the understanding. Is that it? Yeah.
Okay. Is there anything else? Okay, before I adjourn, if you could go through your list there for CEU participants, I appreciate that.
Okay, when I call your name, if you'll just give me a something, an arm and, you know, here still. So, Victor.
Yep.
Lynn.
Here.
Lauren.
Here.
Andrea. Karen. Jerry. Esma. Is it Michaela?
Michelle,
okay. Ed? Julie? Michael? Christina? Amanda? Gladys? Janet?
Here.
Okay. Veronica? And Rusty?
Did we get that last one? No?
There was no Rusty.
No? Did anyone not get their name called? Well, you guys did well for yourself.
Yes.
In an hour and a half, you got all those small CEUs. So I will adjourn at 10:24.
My presentation.
Yeah, there wasn't much.
And I got approved by work. Now I'm just gonna let it out there.
No, that's okay. I saw.
Give the stink guy.
I take very good knowledge.
I created a hope to get over there. So.
For all this.
Yeah, because it has something to do with the wireless access points. And when you get everybody in here, then the internet goes down. And it doesn't do that when there's only three or four of us, so.
Got it.
So it's a bandwidth issue, so.
That's why I wondered if it was this position, because it worked for him and then he brought it here and it didn't.
I have a ticket with CenturyLink. I think it's just a timing issue with the server.
Okay, all right.
Because yours stopped working, but mine was still working.
Yes, and his was working.
Yeah.
That's why I wondered if and this one was working, mine was over there. That's why I wondered if it was right here.
I think it's just that only so many devices can be on and it's not allowing you.
We don't want to come to me.
Got it.
We'll try to get that one resolved.
Yeah, I think that they would have it on a different day because I don't want to. I want to go see what they're telling me how to work with administrative agencies. Like I said, somebody from the nursing line is there. So.
Is it Joey who's putting it on?
You know, honestly, I'm not sure. And the link, I had to actually tap into the State Bar website to say the CLE number that they sent out. There's no link to it.
Oh, really?
And so when